The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And if you want to join in the conversation live on the air, our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we got a number of things to talk about, and I guess we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll get into our program here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air here tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to point people to Christ, help us to be encouragement to people. And again, Lord, as we think of Thanksgiving coming up this week, help us, Lord, to remember all the many things that you've done for us, the blessings you've given us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and I'll tell you what, and just trying to think how far this cold snap goes that we're in. I came in to do our local program here in Independence, Ohio, Northeast Ohio. We're just outside, just below Cleveland, and I came in on Friday. And it was 70-some degrees, low 70s, came in short-sleeve shirt. I had a jacket with me. I left it in the car because I didn't know if the temperatures were going to start dropping later in the afternoon before I could get home or not. But it was great. And then went to our Friday night Bible study at our church, where I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I went to our Friday night Bible study, and I had my coat with me there too, and I really didn't need it coming out of there. It was comfortable and really a nice evening. And I think it was 54 degrees on my house thermometer at midnight on Friday night, and then got up Saturday morning, and it was about 36 or 38 degrees. I think it was 38, I guess, when I got up. And I actually went to something nearby, and about 9 o'clock, as I was coming out to go home, it was raining, and then big old fat blobs of snow started whacking into me and plopping all around me. And it started snowing, and then the snow kind of stopped, but the temperatures didn't stop. They just kept going down. And then we got down into the lower 20s and around there and a little below freezing. And then last night, it just started snowing probably after 7 o'clock at night, I think. And about, I think, 8 o'clock or 8:30, almost 9, my wife looks out and says, "Look at all the snow on the back porch." And we had about 2 inches. So everything was so warm because it had been warm here this past week, that a lot of snow melted off, but within a very short period of time, it came down so fast. We had a couple of inches building up on the porch, and I just know that I went out to clean my car off for church today, getting the snow and everything off. I had a good 3 inches on the hood of my truck as I was trying to get it going and get out the driveway, but thankfully, the ground was warm enough that the driveway and the roads and all were pretty clear and didn't have any problems there. Some people had a little bit more snow to contend with than what we did. A lot of wind. If you're in northeastern Ohio, you're probably experiencing wind out on the roads right now yourselves. But I'm not sure how far south the system goes. I know it goes down southern Ohio and I think even down further into Kentucky and all that with this cold and snow and everything. And yeah, we look at it, and it's the first real wintry weather that we've had yet this season. So it's a foretaste of things to come here in northeastern Ohio or anywhere that you may be with the winter weather coming here in the northern part of the United States. Thankfully, we didn't get it as bad as they did out in out in Colorado and up through the Dakotas, I guess, Nebraska, up into Minnesota, places like that. Some places were much harder hit. So very thankful it wasn't too bad, but yeah, this isn't really too bad, really, when you think about it. It's not that cold. It's only about 30 degrees outside right now here when we came into the studio, and just spitting a little bit of snow. And up in this part of the country, we get what's called lake effect snow. Not too many places get that, even really in the world. But if you're in an area where lake effect snow squalls occur, you understand it. My wife, when she moved up here from Kentucky after we got married, asked, "What's a snow squall?" And then she got stuck in one. It's like you're driving along, not a flake in the sky, and then all of a sudden you can't see the front of your car. It's snowing so hard. And then a quarter mile later, you're back into the nice, bright, sunny. You just went through a lake effect snow squall. And we were getting Lake Superior and Lake Erie raining down on our, snowing on our heads last night. And Lake Huron mixed into that today. So it picks up the moisture off from the lakes, and when it hits the higher elevations as it comes in off the lakes, it's like squeezing a sponge. And with that cold weather, that snow just starts to drop out on top of you. And so that's why you always see Erie and Buffalo, Erie, Pennsylvania, Buffalo, New York, always getting hit so hard. Because if you've ever been there, you know, it comes right off the lake, and the topography, you know, the land rises up pretty quick right there, and you get all those long winds coming across Lake Erie, and they just smack right into that higher elevation, and it squeezes the moisture right out in the form of snow. But at any rate, it's something that, like we joke, it keeps the big bugs down south. We don't get too many big bugs up here as a result of that, the winters. But that's the season. There's always seasons, and springtime and harvest, the Bible says, and they keep going. Well, that's the weather here in northeastern Ohio, and I'm sure you're enjoying it wherever you might be here today. And I hope that if you're in a cold spot, that you're inside nice and warm, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this evening at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here with your question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. And, well, a couple other things that are happening here in the world around us. Pray for President-elect Donald Trump and the things that are going on with his transition, that things would go smoothly. Pray for President Barack Obama. And pray that things will work well on his end as well, smoothing things out with the transition. And while we're at it, pray for the salvation of these men. Certainly, President Obama needs to be saved. He needs to understand the gospel. He needs to be saved. And that's our prayer. We pray for him every Sunday at church, and Wednesday at our prayer meetings, we pray for his salvation. And pray for President-elect Donald Trump. I mean, there's stories circulating. Maybe you've heard them yourselves. We mentioned it before that it's believed that he may have trusted Christ as his Savior this past winter, which would make him a baby Christian and just growing, just learning. And I hope and pray that that is the case. If he's not saved, he's certainly been surrounded by people who have shared the gospel with him, so he has heard it. So we do pray for him. If he's not saved, that he gets saved. If he is saved, that he would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that God would be with him as he takes on this office. Well, we're going to get to our callers here tonight. We've got, I believe, our first caller, Mary Ann, calling from Florida tonight. And Mary Ann, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. How's your weather down there tonight?
It's really cool for Florida.
What kind of temperatures for you guys?
I think it's supposed to drop to around 40.
Okay, yeah, that's what we had. I think the last time we saw that was Friday, just after midnight, so or early Saturday morning. So, but at any rate, I hope it doesn't get too cold for you down there, because I know down where you're at, you're not geared up for snow and everything like we are up here. So, but
if it's below 70, I'm cold.
Well, it's dice as long as you can stay in where it's warm and have some source of heat. But we're certainly glad to have you on the program with us tonight.
Yes, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a friend who believes that the book of Job is the first book of the Bible.
Okay.
I mean, and can you just tell me where you would put, he believes it's, yeah, pre-Genesis, and could you just give me your thoughts on that?
Yeah, let's take a look at a couple things here. The book of Job is a very interesting book, and in many senses, your friend is correct. It's considered to be the oldest book of the Bible, and in the sense of being older than Genesis, it would have been written before Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Job is an interesting person. Let me see if I can take a look here in the book of Job. When it starts out in the book of Job, there, chapter 1, verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the land of Uz was a place that was, if I remember correctly, located between the area of Idumea or what's sometimes called Edom and Arabia. And so that would be kind of... if you go south where Israel is today, down around the southern edge of Israel and Jordan, where that kind of comes together, and then heading down towards Saudi Arabia, probably in that area of the world. And it appears that Job was a descendant of both Ishmael and Esau, which would mean that he is older in terms of when he was born than Moses. But Ishmael, of course, was... Abraham's first son, his first child, and that was by the handmaiden Hagar. And then Esau was the child of Abraham's second son, Isaac. And Isaac had two sons was Esau and Jacob. They were fraternal twins. Esau was actually the firstborn of the fraternal twins. And there's some passages inside of Job and inside of Genesis chapter 36 that seem to indicate that Job is a descendant of both Ishmael and Esau. So that would probably put him in the time frame, I guess we could say, of Jacob. Possibly some of Jacob's earlier children. I'm not sure exactly where the time frame would come, but it would also be considered the time frame of the patriarchs. It's considered to be the first book of the Bible written. So that does predate the book of Genesis in that sense, though the book of Genesis obviously predates in terms of the topics, you know, that are covered there, the beginning of the world and all. So... Is that kind of what she was talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Do you think who wrote Job?
Job, I believe, was Job himself was recording some of this, and it's entirely possible. And of course, we know all Scripture was given by God, but it's entirely possible that perhaps there's some translation. Work that went on of some works that gave us the book of Job, some people believe. But I think probably Job is a likely candidate here. It's not really clear because it always refers to Job, you know, kind of almost as it's somebody talking about him, like somebody who knew Job and giving a reference to Job when he's talking about him, as opposed to like some of the scripture where actually, now that I'm thinking about it, if you think of the book of Acts, Luke wrote in the book of Acts, and he'll write, and Paul did this, and Paul did that, and that's kind of the structure that you see a lot in Job, and Job said this, and Job did that, and Job's friends said this, and Job's friends did that, so it's almost like somebody was a contemporary of Job, was writing down what he saw, I off the top of my head, I can't think if they've got anybody for sure that they believe was the human author of Job. It could be that as well. So
there was one other thing. Do you mm-hmm. believe Elihu was a Christophany?
That who was?
Elihu. Elihu?
Is this one of the characters in Job? Oh, Elohim, right?
Yeah. Elohim, right. I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Yeah, and you're talking about here in the book of Job still?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have, I'm trying to think of the ones that he had here, his friends that were with him. There was Eliphaz, which was one of his friends. That's Eliphaz, the Temanite. And Eliphaz was somewhat related to Job. That's one of the reasons we believe Job's a descendant of Esau, because Eliphaz, I believe, was a son of Esau in Ezekiel 36. Let's see. So we've got Eliphaz here, and we've got, I should know this off the top of my head here. Bildad, the Shuhite, that's the other one of his friends. And then we have Zophar, the Namathite. And then there was the other young man that sat with them and said something towards the end. I can't think of his name right at the moment. Elohim in this. I'm sorry.
Elihu, I'm not saying that right, but yeah.
Yeah, because what I was saying was Eliphaz is probably the closest to what you're saying there in terms of names, in terms of people who are named in the book of Job, Eliphaz. But Eliphaz is clearly, like I said, he's Eliphaz the Temanite in chapter 4 and verse 1. And he's actually, like I said, a relative of Job and a son of Esau. The word Elohim though is the biblical, Jewish word for, or the Hebrew word, one of the Hebrew words referring to God himself. It has the root in there, El, which has to do with God. And so you have Elohim, which is kind of a plural sort of a word, like, you know, we talk about a baseball team or a football team or a basketball team. When we use the word team, we understand we're talking about one team, but it has a plural makeup because it has many, you know, players that make up that team. And that's kind of a concept that you get with it, with the name Elohim, or Elohim, I'm sorry, Elohim there. As far as the other names go, Eliphaz, he would definitely be a human being in this particular case in the book of Job.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you called about that. And Job is an interesting book. I mean, it's it carries a lot of information in it. It can be a challenge to read and a challenge to understand sometimes, but it does have a lot of things in it. It's even got some interesting Bible prophecies in it, referring to the bodily resurrection of believers and the second coming of Christ and things like that. So it's a book that is a challenge to read, but it's worth it because there's some biblical gems that you can find inside of the book. So I encourage people to read it. Some people steer away from it because it can be a bit heavy and a bit negative. There's some interesting discussions about the relationship of the devil towards human beings there, how he accuses us, like the Bible calls him in Revelation chapter 12, the accuser of the brethren, and you see him accusing Job before God, all kinds of things that are hidden in this book. So I encourage you to read it. So,
okay.
Well, thank you for the call, and have a great Thanksgiving, Marianne.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673 is our toll-free number, and we've got John in Euclid, Ohio, calling in this evening. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yes. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. Evening.
Yeah, praise the Lord, yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, John.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, yeah. Yeah, we have so much to be thankful for here in America. And,
oh, yes.
You know, really around the world, but, you know, it's amazing how much America's been blessed by God, and yet, you know, it's, you know, we kind of take things for granted, I think, and also, of course, a lot of people don't even acknowledge God, which is a shame, but
yeah.
We're still, you know, you can kind of see how gracious God's been anyway, because he still gives blessings, you know, he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's, I think that's something. It says that in Romans, remember, the Lord talked about how, you know, people became vain in their imaginations, neither were they thankful.
Yeah, and their foolish heart was darkened, it goes on to say.
Foolish
yeah.
heart was darkened, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's well, that's one of the things it says, neither were they thankful.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, when you think about it, that's one of the things that, especially today, you know, we have so much. People don't understand in this country that even people who are poor in this country live better than kings did 100 years ago. Hard for people
exactly.
to imagine that. It really is. But, you know, we are so blessed. And, you know, the country in which we live in, you know, we think of the natural resources that we have. We think of the freedoms that we have. And, you know, it's some of the things that people can afford to get upset and indignant over, you know, compared to things that our parents and our grandparents and great-grandparents' generations never had time for because they just didn't have the advantages that we have today.
Well, yeah, and even in the world today, there's so many people, like, you know, most of the, almost even probably the majority of the world really, like, still, I mean, there's still so many people that are just destitute of daily, you know, just enough to eat and, like, I mean, just things like running water and electricity and things. You know, just people think here it's like we're so used to it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Born in a time. Of course, there was always electricity and cars and plumbing and things. But I mean, you know, that's most of the world doesn't have that.
Yeah, we were talking at church this morning about differences just like between our parents' generation and ours, and we were talking about, you know, types of furnaces and how furnaces have changed. And my wife and I looked at a house that we were considering buying, and it was an old coal-fired furnace that had been retrofitted to be an oil burner. And it was like this giant upside-down octopus in the basement, you know, with the tentacles stuck up out of the ceiling, all the different vents and things going up. And it's talking about how my mom, when she was growing up, her and her sister shared a room with their grandmother and chickens. And people say, chickens? How can you sleep with chickens? Well, you know, they had a small farm, and the central fireplace and chimney in the house where the cook stove and everything went up through the chimney and warmed the chimney. So when they got chickens, the little peeps, they have to be kept warm. So they would keep the peeps in by the fireplace or by the chimney where it would be warm. And then their grandmother got to sleep next to the chickens where it was still fairly warm. And then my mom and her sister, my aunt, had to sleep over by the windows where the snow would blow through. And, you know, how many people would be willing to sleep like and stay like that today? You know, we're so blessed with the indoor heating and stuff that we have and the resources that God has given us in this country, you know, the ability to have these things and to develop these things. And, you know, we get upset over little things, you know, and most of us have, you know, sufficient to eat, usually more than sufficient. And we're looking at Thanksgiving, a time where we can express thanks for the blessings that God has given to us when a lot of the world, you know, the bulk of the world is still trying to get by. You know, like you said, they don't have sufficient food. They don't have sufficient water. They don't have the freedom that we have to enjoy, you know, the things of life that we have. And they don't have the freedom to worship God like we do. And we are so blessed to live in America at this time in history, with the things that we have. But, John, we're coming up on the break here. If there's something else that you wanted to mention here, if we run out of time, we can always keep you over, but we should probably get back to that too.
Yeah, well, just, I mean, you know, I wondered about, you know, in 1 Timothy 4, mm-hmm. verse 16, and this is something, well, it's kind of instructions to Timothy, but it just says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And, you know, of course, we don't save ourselves, and none of us, I can't save anyone, and no one, you know, God has to do the saving. You know, a person has to come to Christ.
Right, right. And that's what, of course, he's meaning, yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of those people will, like, see verses like that, or there's, like, a, you know, the verse in Jude where it says, you know, if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating them in the garment spotted by the flesh. And I've had people tell me things. They say, see, you you save others that way. You're saving them. And I'm like, no, you can't save anybody. You know, it's just some of the conversation I had with somebody one time, and he was pointed that verse to me, you know, in Jude. And he's like, look, see, you save them.
And I'm like, well, no, and you save them in the sense that you told them how to get saved. You know, if you think about it, because when we point somebody to Christ and they trust Christ as their Savior, we can say in the one hand that we saved them because we gave them the saving knowledge of Christ, but it's God, of course, who did the saving. And
yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and but you know, I think that it's so, there's something so powerful there too than that verse in 1 Timothy 4, because he tells him, you know, take heed unto thyself.
Into the doctrine,
the
yes.
Doctrine, and continue in them.
Yeah, and I was going to say, when you look at that, you know, in 2 Timothy, he's talking about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, and you know, that's the teachings. That's literally what it means. And so, you know, if we want to reach people with the gospel, you know, we need to take heed unto ourselves that we walk with Christ. And under the doctrine, you know, the teachings that we've received of salvation and things of that nature, so that we can reach people with the gospel so they can be saved. And, you know, if we fail to, you know, to know what the Bible says, you know, it's just like some people try to say, well, people get saved, they just say they believe. There's no repentance. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible says. You know, we need to repent. We need to turn from our sin and accept Christ as our Savior. Hey, John, we're up on the break here. I got about 5 seconds, so do you want to hold over? Okay, we're going to have to cut right here, so sorry. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And I want to mention you can check us out on livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find past programs there and some other materials and things that are there. And also there's a link there to our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. I encourage you to go there. I have a number of things that I try to put on Facebook from time to time, different articles and things that I find interesting, and some things that we talk about on the program, some things that I have there hoping to talk about on the program, but we just don't have time. And you can find a lot of that stuff there, and encourage you to check us out, like us on Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, and then check out our website, livewithpastoral.com. Of course, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. You can find out more information about that at the end of the program here, and I certainly invite you to visit if you're in the northeastern Ohio area. We'd love to have you. We're located right midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, right where Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 cross. We meet at the Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio, 5171 Brecksville Road, and we're there every Sunday from, we have a Bible study at 10 in the morning, 11 o'clock morning worship service, 6 o'clock evening service, and then every Friday night from 7 to 9, we have a informal Bible study, which is actually what gave the basis for this program coming into being. And then, of course, brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, and East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're maybe out of the area and interested in starting your own pizza business or adding pizza to an existing restaurant, you need a great pizza recipe, why don't you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a lot less of what you might think. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and it's great. I usually get a pizza there just about every week, and I enjoy it every time I get one. So it's a great pizza. East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. We're going to get back to our program here tonight, and we'll be on until midnight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got John still with us here, and we got interrupted by the bottom of the hour break there while talking to John. And John, are you still with us tonight?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Great to have you back. Great to have you back. Let's see. We were talking about 1 Timothy, I believe, when we ran out of time there. Apologize. We just kind of come up on a hard break there. So let's get back to your question or comment there.
Well, interestingly, I was looking there at 1 Timothy 4:16. Where Timothy's instructed to take heed unto himself and on the doctrine, and to continue in them, that both himself might be saved and them that hear him.
Right.
And then I know you referenced 2 Timothy.
Right. I was thinking of 3:16. Yeah. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that idea of doctrine, it's so important.
Also, just looking, if you would, Pastor, and the previous verse 15, it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith,
right,
which is in Christ Jesus. I think that verse says it all.
Yeah, and in fact, when you look at that verse, the reason he said that there in verse 15 is because of what he said in verse 13, where he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then that's where he led into that by saying, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them,
and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So that's to keep us from being deceived. That's to keep us from being tricked into believing a false gospel, a false teaching of some sort.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's so much there about Scripture. And again,
right.
Even in the preceding chapter, mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 4, where you're speaking of doctrine, I mean, well, where do you get doctrine in the Bible? I mean,
right.
Clearly, you know, he's telling them to take heed.
Right, and God is the one who's given us the doctrine, as we saw there in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it was given by inspiration of God. And so the doctrine in the Scripture comes from God. And it's interesting, you know, we live in the time that Paul then warned Timothy about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 2, where he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And, you know, we live in that day, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we surely do. And again, you know, it's amazing there in just those couple of chapters. And then I'm looking back at 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he says in verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness."
Yeah.
There's so much about doctrine there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the words just used there.
In fact, I was going to tell you, I was going to say that when I first got out of the Air Force, I came back to the States. I had been stationed in England, and my grandmother was going to this church that was in the area, and it was called the New Church. That's what it was called, and this was in the late 80s, and it was called the New Church. And she wanted me to go there with her to see what it was like. And afterwards, they had a thing for visitors. It was a pretty good sized group. And it was probably over 1,000 people there. And as a first-time visitor, they brought us back into this little room, and they gave us some information on the church. And their information stated something to this effect. They said, "We here at the New Church believe in Christian unity, and since doctrine divides, we have no doctrine at this church. We don't preach doctrine. We don't teach doctrine. We don't talk about doctrine, because doctrine's too divisive, and we want people to come together in Christ." And I can remember thinking at that time, this is ridiculous, because it's just like some of the things that you were bringing out in 1 Timothy and the things that I was bringing out in 2 Timothy, how often the word doctrine is used. And then that passage where he said a time would come when people would not endure sound doctrine. And here was a whole church that was dedicated to not having doctrine. Can you imagine that?
Unfortunately, I can.
Yeah.
It seems like that's what's going on. And, you know, if I could just reference one more thing briefly. I mean, mm-hmm. If you look back in the Gospels again, you know, we're speaking of doctrine there, too. It's like Mark chapter 4. And, you know, the Word of God is telling us there, too, that, you know, well, it says in verse 2, of Mark chapter 4, he says, and he's speaking to the Lord Jesus there, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells, you know, the parable of the you know, the field, you know, where the seed is sown, the Word of God, and, you know, how important that is. And again, the Word of God there is that seed, you know, that good seed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, again, but that's his doctrine, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus. So, I mean, doctrine's obviously very important.
Yeah, you know, while you're talking there, I just did a quick search. One of the neat things you can do with some of these Bible programs, I just did a quick search out of curiosity how many times the word doctrine appears in 1 and 2 Timothy in the King James Version of the Bible. It appears 13 times in those two short books, and that sounds like... there's a little bit of importance attached to that word, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. And, unfortunately, you know, I don't have, I mean, I just, have my Bible. I don't have modern technology, but I just try to, you know, send this from memory because it's like,
yeah,
well, I know it's there. I mean, it's probably, it could be more times than that. I mean, it's obviously that doctrine's very important, but yet there's just a whole lot of people that will say, just like you said, just like the church you're talking about, where they said, well, doctrine divides. And, you know, like, I remember speaking to some people in the past, and, you know, they said they were saved, and, you know, they love the Lord, and, you know, they're serving the Lord, and, you know, and I just talked to them a little bit about, I said, well, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, beloved, you know, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. There are many false spirits are going out in the world. You know, there's, you know, warnings about Antichrist. Even now, there's many Antichrists. So, I mean, you have to test things in light of Scripture. But they didn't really, they said, well, no, they just didn't want to hear that. They're like, no, what do you mean? You're not testing. You know, do you love Jesus? That's what matters.
Right.
You know, so many people will say that.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing is these people who don't want doctrine, don't believe in doctrine, reject doctrine, they fail to understand or comprehend that what they're saying is their doctrine. You know, you think about that. That's their doctrine. That's something they believe. That's basically their teaching that you shouldn't take a stand. Well, that's a doctrine, because a doctrine is just a teaching. And we need to know the important doctrines of the Word of God.
Their doctrine is kind of like their feelings.
Yeah,
not the Word of God. That's not, you know, that's what I try. I try to say, well, you got to test things by,
right,
you know, what the Scripture says.
Oh yeah, well, you know, we have a lot of football games played around the country today, and what did they have at all those games? They have referees, don't they? And what's the referee do when somebody does something and they say, no, that was in, that was out, and the referee makes a judgment and he refers to what? The rule book, right? And
yeah,
you know,
of course.
He makes a ruling based on the rule book. And that's just what you're saying. When we see things, we need to go back to the rule book. That's the Word of God. And we need to use that as, that's what we go to. That's what we compare to. The referees on the football game, they don't sit out there and say, well, Joe, what do you think? I don't know, Bill. Today, I think it should be in, but I know if this was yesterday, I would have said it was out, you know, that type of stuff. And they don't look to themselves. They look to the rule book. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, like Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. We go to the rule book. We go to the Word of God. That's what Paul said that Timothy had learned from a child that was able to make him wise unto salvation. It was the Word of God. And that Scripture that contains the Word of God is where we get the doctrine, where we get the rules, where we get the guidelines, the things that we need to know in order to be saved. So but that's a good point you bring up there tonight, John. And I've got another caller waiting patiently as well.
Thank you, Pastor.
And I want to thank you for bringing that up. That's so important to talk about good doctrine. And so I appreciate that, John. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Have a good night. God bless. And if you've got a call, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight here at Live with Pastor Al. And we've got Nancy also in Euclid, Ohio, calling tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And you'll have to excuse me if I start coughing. I'm trying to recover from bronchitis. But what I wanted to what I wanted to ask you about was 1 Samuel 16:14.
1 Samuel.
The word of the 1 Samuel 16:14.
Oh, okay.
But the Spirit of the Lord departeth from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, I don't know if I understand, we're talking about Bible doctrine, correctly, but it seems like I remember that the Holy Spirit indwelled believers at Pentecost, but wasn't, I mean, our main doctrine, here we go back to doctrine, what we believe, was always in existence, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So how did the Holy Spirit you know, indwell believers back in the Old Testament, if I understand correctly, that the Holy Spirit indwell believers at Pentecost. If you could just explain that to me, and also that particular Bible verse, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, would that be the Holy Spirit? And then an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
Yeah, well, let's...
So that could not possibly be demons, because demons cannot possess believers, but I understand they can attack them, but they can't indwell them. So if you could explain all that.
All right. Thank you. Let's take a look at a couple of things. And as you pointed out, at the time of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit of God would come upon believers and indwell them. And now today, as Paul wrote in, I believe it's in Romans, what is it, in chapter 7, I believe, where he says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. When a person trusts Christ as their Savior today, you receive the Holy Spirit. There are some people who erroneously teach that you have to pray and until God gives you his Spirit, but you don't. You get him because we are sealed at the moment of salvation. We are sealed until the day of redemption with the Spirit of God in us, that we become the temple of God, the temple of his Spirit that dwells in us at the moment of salvation. Now, that's since Pentecost. And that's a tremendous blessing that we have in this dispensation, that when we come to the Lord, he puts his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost is indwelling us at that time. What happened in the past is the Bible indicates that the Spirit of God would come upon people and leave them. A perfect example of that was who am I trying to think of? Samson here. I was thinking, we were talking about Saul. I had Saul on my tip of my tongue. But remember Samson, they didn't know what the secret of his strength was. It's not that he looked like, you know, the greatest bodybuilder that ever lived. He was a normal-looking guy, and they could not understand the source of his amazing supernatural strength. But
yeah,
that strength was... What's that?
Reflects me about his hair. You know, his hair.
Yeah, well, that was because he was a Nazarite. The vow of a Nazarite was on him. But what happened was when he had these manifestations of super strength, it was when the Spirit of God came upon him. And because remember when he allowed the secret, you know, about cutting his hair to go out, and he had his hair cut. And the Bible said, it has a phrase in there, it's a sad phrase, he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. And so he didn't have the strength anymore, and he was taken captive at that time. But even David in Psalm 51 said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And so you're talking about here, and
good example.
Yeah, and he was somebody that we know we'll see in heaven, and I believe that we'll see Saul in heaven as well, because remember when Saul visited the witch at Endor, and you know, he disguised himself because God wasn't speaking to him because of his rebellion, and Samuel had died, and God allowed Samuel to speak to him from the grave, and Samuel had news for him. He said, tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me, meaning they were going to die. And I think we'll see Samuel in heaven. Samuel was a believer. I'm sorry, Saul was a believer, but he was somebody who, you know, he didn't always walk with God. And we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 15 here. And let's see, what was the verse again?
1 Samuel 16. 14.
Or 16, I'm sorry, I got one more chapter to go. And let's see here, chapter 16, and what was the verse there again? We'll come down to
14, but the Spirit 14. Of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
Right. Now, the Spirit of the Lord, you see Spirit is capitalized there, so we know, I shout out, that that they're telling us that this is referring to the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, departing from Saul. And that's because God was blessing him and placing his Spirit upon him, and he took his Spirit away from him at this time because of Saul's rebellion. Because in chapter 15, remember, that was where God took the promise of the kingdom away from Saul and his sons, and said he was going to give it to somebody else that turned out to be David. But the evil spirit from God that troubled him what this evil spirit would. This would be what we call a devil or a fallen angel or a demon. But the idea here is that God allowed this this fallen angel, this evil spirit, to trouble him. When he took his spirit away from him, when the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, God allowed this evil spirit to trouble him. It's much like when I was talking with the caller at the first half of the program tonight about Job, and the devil was trying to attack Job, and he accused Job of all manner of things in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. And in both chapters, God allows the devil to afflict Job to a degree, but within limits. And so in that sense, you could say the devil was sent by God in the sense that God allowed him to do that. He had to go to God to get permission. And so this evil spirit here would have had permission from God to trouble him. And part of it, I think God allowed in terms of chastening Saul because of Saul's rebellion that you can read about in the previous chapter, you know, where he was to kill the Amalekites, and instead he saved the king of the Amalekites, Agag, and the best of the livestock and everything he saved alive when he was supposed to kill all that. And God rebuked him for it. And so here in chapter 16, we see that in verse 14, we see that the Spirit of God has departed from Saul, and that's because of his rebellion and his disobedience. And so that's going on here. But at the same time, it becomes clear that Saul was going to be with Samuel in paradise, when he died. And so I believe that even though he come under the chastening hand of God, and this evil spirit was allowed to trouble him, he did not lose his relationship with God. And, and the Bible tells us that we're secure in Christ and as believers. And, you know, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He may take away.
Now,
he may take away some of his protection and blessing from time to time, but go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think somebody, like some of the charismatics that think you can lose your salvation, would they point to that? Do you think they pointed to that particular?
They may, but they're taking it out of context they're ignoring some clear passages, like in John chapter 10, where Jesus plainly said that he gives us eternal life, which by its definition means it cannot end. And if you could lose your salvation, then Jesus would have lied there. And then the very next thing he says, and they shall never perish, and never perish. You know, I let people at our church know the Greek on that. It means never perish. Yeah, it's real difficult. And never perish means just that, never perish. And if you,
I mean, just by
yeah, I was gonna say, if you lose your salvation, Jesus lied there too.
I mean, just by definition, that it shows that it's eternal.
Yeah,
I don't believe what the charismatics believe. You know, about you can lose your salvation.
Yeah, see, they have to reinterpret that. You know, they have to say that he gave us the potential for eternal life as long as we don't lose it. That's not what he said.
Well, thank
he said,
you.
You'll never thank perish. You so much Neither shall any man take them out of my hand, is what he said. Now, though, the Spirit of God indwells a believer at salvation in the New Testament time that we're in now, dispensation, and we're with him eternally secure in Christ, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and nobody can take us out of his hand. That's a great assurance, isn't it?
Amen.
Hey, Nancy, we're out of time.
So
I want to thank you for calling.
You so
have a blessed Thanksgiving to everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.